It's 7:00. Welcome to the council meeting for the city of Shore Acres, Monday, April 24th, 2017. First order of business, call to order, roll call.
Mayor Thapper.
Here.
Alderman Hoskin.
Present.
Alderman Bowles.
Present.
Alderman Snell.
Present.
Alderman McCowen.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tim Jennings.
Present.
We have a forum.
2.0, pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
3.0, special presentation. Recognition of Motorcycle Safety Awareness Month. So the city of Shore Acres is doing a proclamation. Whereas today's society is finding more citizens involved in motorcycling on the roads of our country. And whereas motorcycle riders now account for 1 out of every 10 U.S. road fatalities each year, with motorcyclist deaths and traffic crashes rising each of the last 8 years. And whereas motorcyclists are much more likely to be injured or killed in a crash than other vehicle drivers. And whereas it is the responsibility of all who put themselves behind the wheel become aware of motorcyclists, regarding them with the same respect as any other vehicle traveling the highways on this country. And whereas motorcyclists are often hidden in a vehicle's blind spot or missed in a quick look due to their smaller size, it's crucial that motorists always make a visual check for motorcyclists by checking mirrors and blind spots before entering or leaving the lane of traffic in an intersection. And whereas campaigns have helped inform riders and motorists alike on motorcycle safety issues to reduce motorcycle-related risks, injuries, and most of all, fatalities. Their comprehensive approach to motorcycle safety, and whereas all motorists are reminded to safely share the road with motorcycles and to be extra alert when driving, and whereas we urge our community to become aware of the inherent danger involved in operating a motorcycle and give the operator respect on the road they deserve. Now, therefore, I, Kimberly Hanford, Mayor of the City of Shore Acres, do hereby proclaim the month of May 2017 as Motorcycle Safety and Awareness Month in the City of Shore Acres, Texas.
Sure, we have representatives of an organization here. I'd like to have you step forward.
Thank you very much. We've been getting these from Shore Acres for many years now. May is National Motorcycle Safety and Awareness Month. We're out there all the time. Most of us are even out in the winter just getting back and forth to work, running around just like y'all do in your cars. May we'd like to think about us a little bit more, check your mirrors a little more, think about where we're at, where we got to be, especially in rough weather and stuff. We really need a little bit more room. The main thing is the cell phones, guys. Keep your eyes off them. Distracted drivers are worse. We're just dropping like flies out there. It's usually because of a distracted driver. And we appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming. Thank you.
You want me to come down here?
It might be easier to do it outside.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have 3.2, recognition and remembrance of Jane Turner. This was brought by Alderman Jennings. He asked the city to do a proclamation for Mr. Hurd, which we're more than willing to do. Can you go ahead and read that? Whereas James Hurd was a resident of Shore Acres for over 30 years, whereas James Hurd served his country in the United States Air Force, and whereas James Hurd was active in our community fishing and building custom fishing rods for himself and others, and whereas James Hurd served two terms on the Shore Acres Recreation Association, which has more than 50 years operated the Shore Acres Fishing Pier, and whereas James Hurd passed from his life on Wednesday, April 5th, 2017, whereas James Hurd will be missed by his wife of 45 years, Ronna Hurd, his son Jason and wife Elise, her grandchildren, Celia, Alexa, Haley, Ariana, and Levi, as well as his friends and neighbors in Shore Acres. Now, therefore, I Kimberly Sanford, Mayor of the City of Shore Acres, do hereby recognize James Robert Hurd as credit to our community, and on behalf of the City of Shore Acres and its citizens, extend our sincere condolences to his friends and family.
Mayor Sanford.
Yes.
Mr. Hurd's son, Jason, is here tonight. If you'd like to present that to him.
Sorry about that. Council reports and requests. 4.1.1, items of community interest. 4.1.2, Southeast Texas Housing Finance Corporation Affordable Housing Plan Program 6 update. At the last council meeting, there was a presentation that was put on. I don't think it was real clear on exactly what SEP is and who they help. They are a public entity that help low-income renters and homeowners. They help them both alike right now. They have a $2 million program going on to weatherize rent houses and things like that. Mr. Bolden said something, Alderman Bolden said something last council meeting about the community coming together in the past to help do some renovations on a home. And we actually have a house. Originally, I had reached out to all of council. I posted on the bulletin board system, sent an email. Still no recommendations from council other than Alderwoman Schnell. Mr. Saul had given us a recommendation, but those were the only two people that had gotten involved in SEP in the beginning. The money was sitting there, so we went ahead and spearheaded it, as I believe he called it. But we do have a little bit of funds left, and we have a home that needs to be painted. So I'm not sure if, Bowles, you would like to get that home painted. We buy the materials.
If you'd like to share the address outside of here.
Okay.
And if you have bids, if we have three bids.
We do have bids, but it's not in our budget. We had other things that were a little more important on this home that we've already repaired, but there's some rock foundation doors that need to be replaced, and the house needs to still be painted. There's rotten wood around the windows. You touch it, just kind of falls off. If you want to email me, I'll give you the address, and you guys can decide if y'all want to go ahead. We have the money for the materials and stuff, and I think there's another homeowner that has some entry boards to their home that probably really does need the help, even though she had declined. Maybe you can get with her. We have the money for the materials. We just need to get that done. And also, Seth has a board meeting. Seth is the one who approves every project. We did get multiple bids on every project. We didn't go with the highest. We didn't go with the least expensive. They were insured and bonded. We did go with one person in the neighborhood that was recommended by the SEP rep that's done a lot of good work for different residents since Ike, and he did a fantastic job on a home in the neighborhood. He was real reasonable. In the past, you know, we had citizens do it. They weren't insured and bonded either, but we were able to do that, and so that's where I'm at with that. We're going to move on to 5.0, public hearings and public comments. 5.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address council or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes for speaker comments to city council, and dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Time is limited by law from participating in discussion or deliberation of items not specifically identified on the agenda. So we're going to start over on this side. Does anybody over here get something?
I Sarah Andrews, 624 Eastport. As I've stated many, many times before, that there is a personal relationship between Greg and Greg and Mr. Stahl. I have here the Rotary Club of Space Center, where Mr. Greg is the president-elect, and he is also the sponsor for Mr. Stahl to be a member. So I have that in hand. I also have a list of where Chris Gregg is the trustee on many of the mortgages, as the Lanier, Bradshaw, Moses, even put together and executed a contract while Moses was on the was acting as mayor. I also would like to remind everybody of Resolution 212-94, which was the Shore Acres goals and governance plans. I think that needs to be revisited. Thank you.
Anybody down this side?
Okay. We're going to move on to 6.0 administrative report, 6.1 city administrative report.
Good evening. Today was the first day of early voting. We had 42 voters appear in casting. If you can't make it during our normal office hours, which are from 7:30 to 5 Monday through Thursday and 8 to noon on Friday, we will be open Wednesday of this week from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. for voting. And next week on Tuesday is the last day of early voting. We'll also be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Tuesday of next week, not tomorrow, the week tomorrow, for early voting. Early voting takes place in this room here using the side door. And that's all I have on that report.
6.2,
financial
report.
Financial report in your packet. I would note that the end of March, the general fund had a balance of $669,096.39. The utility fund had a balance of $62,887.33, which is the third consecutive month we've seen growth in the utility fund balance, which is a positive thing. The tech pool, which is our investment funds, balance remains at $411,000. The balance is $411,280.65. Our four certificates of deposit have a maturity value of $255,852. We now are 6 months collected on sales tax. General sales tax collected so far this year is $44,118.61. And the road maintenance sales tax collected year to date is $11,029.66. And that puts us at 61% of the budgeted revenue through 50% of the fiscal year. On property taxes, ending March 31st, in the month of March, we collected $25,636, which brings our year-to-date to $807,520, and that's 92.41% of the tax roll that we have this year, and that's the financial report.
Anybody else have any questions?
Okay.
Moving on to 7.0 business, 7.1 reconsideration action to approve resolution number 2017-247.2 approving the payment of Greg and Greg invoices. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 2017-247.2, which is a resolution approving the payment of invoices to Greg and Greg.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Bowles, to approve resolution number 2017-247.2. Do we have discussion? Jennings, do you have anything?
No.
McCown?
No, ma'am.
Schnell?
No.
Bowles?
No.
Hoskins?
Yeah, my biggest concern about is the billing itself. As I brought up at the last meeting, spending a half an hour to draft an email to say, I'll attend the meeting is quite extensive. And the attorney is supposed to be representing all of counsel in its entirety, not just a certain portion. And so, I mean, I looked through the billing and draft resolution suspending SEP funds, review documents for SEP funded, draft email to client, and I'm part of that client. I never received any email. And that's to the tune for a resolution to suspend SEP funding, which is pay something we don't really have the power to do, per se. That cost the city over $437.50. I know we're going to address later on in this meeting about the excessive use of the attorney, but the attorney needs to be representing all of council and not just literally counting to three. There are six members of council. He needs to learn to count to six. Counting to three is not appropriate. That's really all I have to say about this bill. I think he needs to explain it better. I'm done.
Okay, moving on to, I'm sorry, are we going to vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
The nays are Snell and Hoskins. The ayes are Jennings, Foles, and McCown. 7.2, reconsideration action to approve ordinance number 2017-261, amending Schrager City Code Section 282, Norms of Operation. Jennings, Schrager, Foles.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve ordinance 2017-261, ordinance amending the Schrager City Code Section 282 and Norms of Operation, providing severability clause, making various findings provisions related to the subject, finding compliance with the meeting law, and providing effective date hereof.
I'll second.
So we have a motion brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Bowles, to approve ordinance number 2017-261. Do you want discussion? We'll start with Jennings.
Sure.
Nothing?
No.
McCown?
No.
Schnell?
No.
Bowles?
No.
Hoskins?
Of course. This is the most poorly written ordinance I've ever seen. I just can't believe the city council would even want something like this because there's so many pitfalls, and literally there are pitfalls in this ordinance. It wasn't well thought out. Many of what was put in here is just, like I said, it has pitfalls and it opens Pandora's box. I'm not against having and allowing for discussion, but there needs to be rules around it. Because what this does is modify our current rules. So I'll give you an example. One of the things that this invites is actually a filibuster, something that Robert's Rules prevents. There's nothing in this ordinance that once somebody has the floor that they can speak for eternity, until next Tuesday if they want to. And there's no motion provided to allow for interruption. There's also no time limit for discussion. Robert's Rules has a time limit of 10 minutes for motions that have been placed on the floor. That's not included in here. So you've invited the filibuster. The second thing is there's a total misuse of the motion, and misunderstood, I might add, a motion to table. A motion to table is ordinarily used when there is more pressing business to discuss. It's not used to cancel an agenda item. And under our rules, with the way it's written here, the motion to table means this discussion becomes the first order of business at the next meeting. That's required by our code. It's not well thought out at all.
What's a filibuster?
Filibuster is basically enables someone to use up all the time, and basically they can talk for eternity. There's no set time for how long you can speak. That's a filibuster, and that's what this allows. Like I said, it's poorly written. There's better ways to do it. I would offer to rewrite it, and it wouldn't cost the city a dime. When I look at what it would cost this, I'm not going to go into the cost of this ordinance change. But again, there are too many pitfalls. I'd like to see it done where, and I'll give you one more example. Under this ordinance change, all it takes is for one member to put in a discussion. So a single member of council, which is an absolute minority, can literally create a filibuster the way this ordinance is written. I would prefer to see it where, in order to start a discussion, it takes at least two members to agree on it. And it can be written in such a manner. The motion to, table improperly used, it can be rewritten and we can create a different kind of motion that would enable discussion to stop. I'd also like to see time limits for how long somebody can actually talk during a discussion. We have them for motions, but we don't have them for discussion. And that's my objection to this. It's poorly, poorly written. Amateurish. Thank you.
Does anybody else have anything?
Well, I may touch on what Alderman Hoskins was saying about the way that this is. I think the discussion thing is great, and we had to change our city code to allow for discussion because it defaults Robert's rules. But the way this is written, there's some issues. I mean, this is going to affect other, not just the five of us here, but councils down the line. I mean, you could have just one person, just one member of council that says, well, I want to discuss, I don't know, what color we can paint our houses in Shore Acres. And they can go on ad nauseum because there's no remedy once they have the floor for someone to shut it down because of the way that it was written in stating that a motion to table. You can't have a motion. You can't make that motion to table unless the person that has the floor yields the floor. And so if we wrote it where there were time limits, where it required a motion with a second, and then to end discussion, just required a motion to end discussion with a second, and then you could vote. That way, it would prevent someone from potentially hijacking the meeting, for lack of a better word. I think it's excellent that we have discussion. I just would like to see it more well written with some of those parameters in place. That's all.
Anybody else? Okay, we're going to vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
And it passes 3-2. The ayes are McCown, Bowles, and Jennings. The nays are Schnell and Hoskins. Moving on to 7.2, discussion of Robert Bowles, Warden. Schnell, Bowles, and Jennings.
Thank you. We talk about Robert's rules a lot here in these chambers. And there are some things that are important that I think council needs to know. And so I'm just going to start reading. And I'm just going to keep reading because I have the floor. All right. So if you go to chapter 12, page 385, Rules of Governing Debate. Debate and discussion are not completely interchangeable, but it follows the same principle. Debate, rightly understood, is an essential element in the making of rational decisions of consequence by intelligent people. In a deliberative assembly, this term applies to discussion on the merits of a pending question, that is, whether the proposal under consideration should or should not be agreed to. That right of debate is inherent, and such an assembly is implied by the word deliberative. Debatability is a characteristic of all main motions and of certain other motions depending on the parliamentary functions they serve, according to the principles summarized at the end of this section. And from such principles are derived specific rules under stated characteristics 5 and pages 11 through 37. While the amount of debate on a motion in actual practice will depend on such factors as its importance, how strongly it is contested, etc., every member of the assembly has the right to speak to every debatable motion before it is finally acted upon, and subject only to the general limitations on debate established by parliamentary law or the rules of the body, as explained below. This right cannot be interfered with except for by a two-thirds vote. Summary of procedures and incidents to debate. Until a matter has been brought before the assembly in the form a motion proposing a specific action, it cannot be debated. As explained in 3 and 4, the motion must be made by a member who has obtained the floor, and while no question is pending, or while the motion is in order, if it is not a main motion, after which it must be seconded by another member unless it is made by direction of the board or committee, and must be stated by the chair. The chair may conclude his statement, his or her statement of the question and the debatable motion by asking, are you ready for the question? Or less formally, is there any debate? Alternatively, he may simply pause and turn towards the maker of the motion to see if he desires to turn the floor to the maker of the motion or turn the floor to first debate. After the maker of the motion has the opportunity to speak, if he wishes first. Other members can rise and address the chair to claim the floor for the purpose of debate displayed in pages 29 SF and M 42. While the debate is in progress, amendments or other secondary, subsidiary, privileged, or incidental motions can be introduced and disposed of and can be debated in process if they are debatable, as explained in pages 116 to 18. A member may both speak in debate and conclude by offering a secondary motion, which is a particular application of the principle that a member having been recognized for any legitimate purpose has the floor for all legitimate purposes. When debate appears to have concluded, the chair may ask again, are you ready for the question? Or is there any further debate? Or if after a reasonable pause, no one claims the floor, the chair may assume that no member wishes to speak, standing and may proceed.
Point of order.
We have an ordinance
that prevents cell phone use during.
I'm not using my cell phone. You're out of order. So. You don't have the floor.
That's fine.
It should be noted that under legitimate parliamentary procedure, there is no such thing as gaveling through a measure. The right of members to debate and introduce secondary motions cannot be cut off by the chair's attempting to put a question to vote so quickly that no member can get the floor, either when the chair first states the question or when he believes debate has ended. Debate is not closed by the presiding officers rising to put the question. If a vote has been taken or begun quickly and is found that a member rose and addressed the chair with reasonable promptness after the chair asked, are you ready for the question, or by a pause, or otherwise indicated that the floor was open to assignment, then even if the chair has announced the result of such a vote, the vote must be disregarded. The member is entitled to the floor and debate begins or resumes. But if the chair gives ample opportunity for members to claim the floor before he puts to question and no one rises, the right to debate cannot be claimed after the voting has commenced. If because a member sought the floor in a timely fashion, debate has resumed after voting has begun, the question must be put fully again. That is, both the affirmative and the negative votes must be called for, regardless of how far the earlier vote had proceeded. When a vote is taken a second time for purpose of verification, and there is a division, see page 29, and it is demanded, debate cannot be resumed except by unanimous consent. Length and number of speeches, maximum time for each speech. In a non-legislative body or organization that has no specific rule relating to length of speech, a member having obtained the floor while debatable motion is immediately pending can speak no longer than 10 minutes unless he obtains the consent of the assembly. Such permission can be given by unanimous consent or means of a motion to extend the limits of debate, which requires two-thirds vote without debate. When a member's time is exhausted, the chair rises. If the member does not immediately conclude his remarks, calls his attention to the fact that appropriate signal or interrupting him if necessary. The chair may appoint timekeepers to provide assistance in fulfilling this responsibility. If it appears that a minute more would afford sufficient time for the member to conclude more gracefully, the chair can ask unanimous consent to extend the member's time for a short period, or any other member can do so. Rights in regard to debate are not transferable. Unless the organization has a specific rule on the subject, a member cannot yield any unexpired portion of his time to another member or reserve any portion of his time for a later time. That is, if a member yields the floor before speaking his full 10 minutes, he is presumed to have waived his right to the remaining time. If the speaker yields to another member for question, the time consumed by the question is charged to the speaker. A committee chairman or reporting member is not considered to be debating from presenting or reading the committee's report, but he is bound to obey the assembly's rules relating to the debate in any speech made by him in support of the motion offered on behalf of the committee. The number of speeches in the same question per member per day. Unless the assembly has a specific rule providing otherwise, no member can speak more than twice to the same question on the same day, except in the case of an appeal, page 24. Only the presiding officer can speak twice. The second time is at the close of the debate. All other members being limited to one speech, merely ask a question or making a brief suggestion is not counted as speaking in debate, nor is the making of a secondary motion counted as speaking in debate. So long as the making of the motion, the member makes no comment on the then pending question. It will be seen from this rule that the debate on a pending motion is continued at the next meeting. And if that meeting is held on the same day, members who have already made two speeches on a question are not allowed to speak on it again without the assembly's permission. But in the next meeting is held on another day, all members have the right to debate entirely renewed with reference to the question. Under this rule, each debatable motion is a separate question with respect to members' rights to debate it. Thus, if a series of debatable questions is pending and a member has, for example, spoken twice that day, while the member has, for example, spoken well, I'm sorry, that day while the main motion is immediately pending, he has exhausted his right to debate the main motion. But even on the same day, he can still speak twice on a motion to postpone the main question indefinitely, and twice on each amendment that may be moved, and so on. As noted under the rules for assigning the floor, page 42, however, a member cannot make a second speech on the same question in the same day until every member who desires to speak has had an opportunity to do so once. If debate is closed before the member has the opportunity to make a second speech, none may be made. Modification of general limits of debate. The general rules limiting length and number of speeches in debate that are stated above can be modified to serve the assembly's needs as follows. You can adopt a special rule. The rule allowing each member two speeches of 10 minutes length per each debatable question can be made either more restrictive or more liberal for all meetings of a society by adopting a special rule, or by a two-thirds vote after notice, or by a vote of majority for the entire membership. An example of more restrictive rule might be one setting a limit if not more than one speech of 5 minutes length on the same question on the same day for each member, changing the limits for the session. An assembly is at any session can change the limits of debate for that session only by means of a main motion adopted by a two-thirds vote without notice. In a convention where limits of debate generally need to be stricter than the political society, such a modification is usually adopted in the form of a standing rule of the convention requiring two-thirds vote. And then we go on to, this is chapter 8, page 315, reconsider. A motion of American origin enabled the majority in assembly within a limited time and without notice to bring back for further consideration a motion which has already been voted on. The purpose of reconsidering a vote is to permit correction of hasty, ill-advised, or erroneous action, or to take into account added information or changed situation that has developed since the taking of the vote. To provide both usefulness and protection against abuse, the motion to reconsider has the following unique characteristics. It can be made only by a member who voted with the prevailing side. In other words, a reconsideration can be moved only by one who voted aye if the motion involved was adopted, or nay if the motion was lost. In standing at special committees, the motion to reconsider can be made by any member who did not vote on the losing side, including one who did not vote at all. It should be noted that if it's possible for a majority to be the prevailing side of a motion requiring two-thirds vote for adoption is lost, a member voted by ballot may make the motion if he is willing to waive the secrecy of his ballot. Also, if the motion is to be reconsidered was adopted by unanimous consent, all the members present at the time of the adoption are in the same position as if they had voted on the prevailing side and qualified to move to reconsider. This requirement for making the motion to reconsider is a protection against its dilatory use by a defeated minority, especially when the motion is debatable and the minority is large enough to prevent adoption of the previous question. When a member who cannot move to a reconsideration believes they are a valid reason for one, he should try, if there is time or opportunity, to persuade someone who voted with the prevailing side to make such a motion. Otherwise, he can obtain the floor. No business pending, and briefly state his reasons for hoping for reconsideration will be moved. Provided this does not run into debate, or if necessary, while business is pending, he can request permission to state such reasons. The making of this motion is subject to time limits as follows. In a session of one day, such as an ordinary meeting of a club or a one-day convention, the motion to reconsider can be made only at the same time, the same day the vote to be reconsidered was taken. In a convention or session of more than one day, reconsideration can be moved only on the same day the original vote was taken or the next preceding day within the session on which a business meeting is held. These limitations do not apply to standing or special committees. The making of this motion is a higher rank than consideration. That is, the motion can be made and then seconded at times when it is not in order for it to become the assembly or for debate or to vote. In such a case, it can be taken up later, even after it would have been too late to move in the first place. The motion to reconsider is introduced at the time when it cannot be taken up. The chair does not state the question on as pending, but asks the secretary to record the motion as made and seconded. This temporarily suspends any action growing out of the vote.
Hold on, Mr. Yes. Would you like to wait for Jennings to get back?
No, that's okay. Okay. I'm going to read the whole book if I have to. These rules. Just bring it up once. While the motion to reconsider a vote on a main motion has status, a member can bring the motion before the assembly at a time when its consideration is in order. When he does this, he is said to call upon the motion to reconsider. Except by unanimous consent, a motion to reconsider that has not finally been disposed of cannot be withdrawn after it is too late to renew it. That is, it cannot be withdrawn only within the same time limits for making the motion in the first place. Standard descriptive characteristics, the motion to reconsider. With respect to making the motion, you take precedence over in any other motion, whatever yields to the nothing. The making of this motion is in order when any other question is pending and also after an assembly has voted to adjourn. If the member rose and addressed the chair before the chair declared the meeting adjourned, if a reconsideration appears to require immediate action in the later case, the vote on adjourning should be retaken. Even while an order for the previous question is in effect on motion, which is immediately pending until the chair actually begins to take the vote, the making of the motion to reconsider an earlier vote or another vote in question is in order. With respect to its reconsideration, it has only the same rank as that of the motion to be reconsidered, although it has the right of way in preference to any new motion of equal rank until such a motion has been stated by the chair as pending. The procedure for calling up a motion to reconsider in preference to a main motion just made by someone else relating to another matter is similar to that as described for moving to take from the table, provided that no question is pending the reconsideration of a vote. Disposing of a main motion, either temporarily or permanently, can be taken up while the assembly is in the midst of taking up general orders. It can also be applied to the vote on any motion except a motion which can be renewed. A negative vote on a motion, which at the time of the motion to reconsider is made, would be out of order because it conflicts with the motion previously adopted and still in force. It conflicts with the motion which has been temporarily but not finally disposed of and which remains within the control of the assembly, or it would conflict with a pending motion if that motion were adopted. An affirmative vote whose provisions have been partially carried out. An affirmative vote in the nature of a contract when the party to the contract has been notified of the outcome. Any vote which has caused something to be done that is impossible to undo. A vote on a motion to reconsider or when practically the same result as desired can be obtained by some other parliamentary motion. In the case of subsidiary or incidental motions that adhere to a main motion, however, reconsider can be applied only in such a way that the reconsideration takes place while the main motion to which the adherent is pending, either before the main motion is voted on or when it is being reconsidered at the same time. The same is true when there is subsidiary or incidental motion adheres to another. For example, reconsider can be applied to the vote on a secondary amendment only in such a way that the reconsideration takes place before the primary amendment involved is voted on or while the primary amendment is being reconsidered. By application of these principles, it follows certain motions cannot be reconsidered, while in the case of others, and only the vote on an affirmative result can be reconsidered, and with still others, only the vote on a negative result. For a list, go see .edge. The motion to lay on the table can be applied to the motion to reconsider. Motions to postpone to a certain time or limit extended times of debate and for the previous question can be applied when it is debatable. When a motion to reconsider is postponed or laid on the table, all adhering questions are also postponed or go to the table. Motions to postpone indefinitely, amend, or comment cannot be applied to a motion to reconsider. It is in order with respect to making the motion, even after another person has been assigned the floor, so long as he has not actually begun to speak. The calling up of a motion to reconsider is out of order when another has the floor. It must be seconded at the time it is made. Unlike the making of a motion, which must be done when the person who voted on the prevailing side, the seconding can be done by any member regardless of how he voted on the motion to be reconsidered. The calling up of the motion to reconsider does not require a second. It is debatable in all cases in which the motion postponed to be reconsidered is debatable, and when the debatable opens to debate the merits of the question whose reconsideration is proposed. See page 2728. However, regarding a series of motions proposed to be reconsidered and the question that is open to debate in such a case, when the motion proposed to be reconsidered is not debatable either because of its nature or because of the subject to an unexhausted order from the previous question, the motion to reconsider is undebatable. Similarly, if the previous question is in effect on a pending question or series of questions, And if a motion which proposed to be reconsidered adheres to those pending questions in such a way that the reconsideration must be taken up before the previous question is exhausted, both the motion to reconsider and the motion to be reconsidered are undebatable, even if the latter motion was open up to debate in its earlier consideration and the previous question was ordered latter. It is not amendable. Requires only a majority vote, regardless of the vote necessary to adopt the motion to be reconsidered. But see page 329-30 for a different rule in the case of standing and special committees. It cannot be reconsidered if it is voted on and lost. The motion to reconsider cannot be renewed except by unanimous consent. By the same principle, no question can be reconsidered twice unless it was materially amended during its first reconsideration. Further rules and explanations. Suspending effect of making a motion to reconsider. The effect of making a motion to reconsider is the suspension of all action that depends on the result of the vote proposed to be reconsidered, either until the motion to reconsider has been voted on and the motion is adopted, until the reconsideration is completed, or if the motion to reconsider is not taken up, until the suspension terminates as follows. If no more than a quarterly time interval will elapse until the next regular session, the suspension terminates with the adjournment of the next regular session. But if more than a quarterly time interval will intervene before the next regular session, the suspension terminates with the end of the same session in which the motion is made. If the motion to reconsider is not called upon at these limits of time, the situation becomes the same as if there had been no such motion, and the vote on which it was proposed to reconsider on any other action held up because the proposed reconsideration comes to full force and is in effect as far as possible, so far as applicable from the time of the vote was originally taken. Reconsideration of a motion that is no longer in order because of intervening action. It should be noted that as a consequence of the rule set forth by the standard characteristic two above, action taken by an assembly may preclude the making of a motion to reconsider a vote on a previously rejected motion. For example, assuming that a motion to spend all of an invaluable sum of money for a library books is voted down, and thereafter a motion to suspend the same money for athletic equipment is made and adopted. No motion to reconsider the vote on the motion to purchase library books will thereafter be in order because if adopted, it would place before the assembly a motion which conflicts with a motion previously adopted and still in force. In such a case, if it is desired to reconsider the vote on the rejected motion, the subsequently adopted motion, and the first to be rescinded or amended in some fashion so that it no longer conflicts, or the vote on it must be reconsidered in reverse, taking up the motion to reconsider at the time it was made. If a motion to reconsider is made at a time which it can be taken up, that is, when the motion proposed can be reconsidered, would be in order initially, the chair immediately states the question on the motion to reconsider as pending before the assembly. In proposing a reconsideration of the vote on a main motion, it is usually better to make the motion to reconsider when no other business is pending and the motion can be taken up immediately, unless it appears there may be no such opportunity or there is important reason for doing so otherwise. When the motion to reconsider is taken up, as noted in characteristic 5, it is debatable if the motion proposed to be reconsidered is debatable, and debate can go on until the merits of the question proposed to be reconsidered. The right of each member to debate the motion to reconsider is separate from the original consideration of the motion proposed to be reconsidered. Therefore, even if a member exhausted his or her right to debate in the original consideration and the motion to reconsider is taken up on the same day, he still has the right to speak to the regular number of times, twice unless the assembly has a special rule providing otherwise, in debate on the motion to reconsider. For rules affecting members' rights to debate and the reconsideration of the motion to reconsider is adopted, see page 324-25. If a motion to reconsider is voted on and lost, the vote which it proposed to reconsider and any action held up to because of the proposed reconsideration comes into full force effective from the time the first vote was taken. Calling up the motion to reconsider. If a motion to reconsider that involves the main motion cannot be taken up. Y'all get where I'm going? What just passed will allow for this.
Go for it.
Keep going. Yeah, only you would do this.
And so I'm just trying to show how absurd it is.
We got it.
You're going to be removed if you keep interrupting.
She asked
you. Out, please. You guys know the rules. You're not going to disrupt or disrespect the council meeting. Karen Harris, I'm asking you to leave. Can you get her out of here, Chief?
She's leaving.
I'm leaving. If they ask a question, we're going to answer.
This is good.
Yeah.
Was there somebody else or just her?
Yeah, I mean, Coons, Harris, they were also
Harris
something else.
A little bunch of them are good. So just tell me who. I need to know who's
going
to. Okay, everybody from here back?
Yep.
Everybody from here back?
No.
I'm not leaving.
If we ask a question, if
she was asked, Mayor, I need you to tell me who
goes. Harris and Coons.
I'm not leaving.
I'm not even
a goddamn meeting, is it? You know, it's a question.
Come on, Andrew.
Out.
I know. Come on. But it's not working.
It's possibly ridiculous.
Out.
I'm a bunch of freaking kids.
Don't please leave for me.
They're
looking next door.
Yeah,
they're looking next door.
Mayor, Mr. Coons refusing to leave. Can we use physical force to remove him?
Please.
You realize what that's going
to
do?
He needs to leave. He's
you realize what
to
that's
going to
do? Because I will remove him if that's what you want.
He needs to be removed.
Can I leave, please?
I will leave.
Yes, sir.
Don't touch me.
I have no. If you'll leave, I'm not going to do it.
The nice lady asked the question, and I answered it. I do not think I stepped
and then I asked y'all to stop, and you continued.
Mayor, please have no more conversation. You're making this worse.
That's twice. You won't get a third chance.
Is that everybody?
Thank you.
You're all right.
Privilege accorded the mover in regard to the time in which the reconsideration takes place. Although any member can call up the motion to reconsider just as described, usually no one but the mover of the reconsideration calls it up on the day the motion is made. At least in cases where the session is to last beyond that day and there's no need for immediate action. I'm going to stop, but I just wanted to demonstrate how poorly that was written. I mean, there's nothing that precludes me from reading this whole book because of the way that was written. And so, I yield the floor.
Did I ever hear a discussion in this?
Well, I'm just curious.
So moving on, 7.4, consideration and action to approve resolution number 2017-249, approving the payment of invoices. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve resolution 2017-249 approving payment of invoices.
I second.
So we have a motion brought by Alderman Hoskins, seconded by Alderwoman Schnell to approve resolution 2017-249. Do we have discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? So we have 2 ayes and 3 abstains. Alderwoman Schnell and Alderman Hoskins voted aye in favor. McCown, Jennings, and Bowles abstained.
Actually, I said aye, Mayor.
Jennings said aye.
Okay, so 3, Jennings, Hoskins, and Schnell say aye, and
Bowles.
McCown abstained. It passes 3-0-0. 7.5, consideration and action to approve resolution 2017-250 denying the distribution cost recovery factor rate increase to CenterPoint Energy Houston Electric LLC made on or about April 6, 2017, authorizing participation in a coalition of similarly situated cities authorizing participation in related rate proceedings requiring the reimbursement municipal rate case expenses and authorizing the retention of special counsel. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2017-250. A resolution by the City of Shoreacre, Texas, denying the distribution cost recovery factor of rate increase of CenterPoint Energy Houston Electric LLC made on or about April 6, 2017, authorizing participation in a coalition of similarly situated cities, authorizing participation in related rate proceedings, requiring the reimbursement of municipal rate case expenses, authorizing the retention of special counsel, finding that the meeting complies with the Open Meetings Act, making other findings and provisions related to the subject, and declaring an effective date.
So we have a motion brought by Jennings. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion to approve resolution 2017-250 brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Cole. Do we have discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes. 7.6, discussion of schedule for selection and employment of a successor city administrator or city manager role. Do you have the floor?
Mr. Stahl, I want to withdraw that and put it on the agenda for the next meeting. Please.
We're going to move on to 7.7, consideration and action to approve resolution number 2017-251, removing unlimited access to the city attorney.
I move to approve resolution 2017-251, removing unlimited access to a city attorney.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay. Once again, we are $11,000, well over budget. And part of the reason is?
Does anybody have it in their packet?
It should be, yeah, the resolution itself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay.
But we refund it.
Never mind, it's on the last page, it's just how it works.
Good. So, for example, the billing that was set up for unlimited access to, you know, we spent $437.50 on a resolution suspending set funds.
I'm sorry, point of order. I'm seeing 27, that's a point of order, Mr. Hoskins. I'm seeing 2017-251 says terminate the agreement for services of the city attorney. It has nothing to do with removing unlimited access to the city attorney.
No, it's removing 7.7.
Yep, that would be mine. He's correct.
I'm just reading it. 2017-251 says a resolution terminating the agreement for services of Christopher A. Gregg and Gregg.
Yeah, that's correct.
And it has nothing to do with removing unlimited access to the city attorney.
So that's actually Hoskins. Where's the one?
There's resolution.
The resolution that is last in the packet is misnumbered. That's 253.
Where's the one that I requested for removing unlimited access, basically rescinding the ordinance?
I did not receive resolution 251. I did not receive the place language for 251. I requested that twice.
We don't have a handwritten resolution. That's fine. I guess we don't have a resolution that is still moving to resolve that we remove unlimited access to the city attorney. And we can so do. Even though we don't have language written in there for that. It goes back to, we need to not have unlimited access. We have no accountability whatsoever. There's no oversight. You have basically individual council members that, quite frankly, at times it seems like they are treating our city attorney as if their attorney, perhaps, is a better wording, as if it were their personal attorney. We are $11,000 over budget this year. And a lot of that is because things like $437.50 spent on a resolution suspending set funds. You know, there is a resolution terminating the agreement with Gregg and Gregg that cost the city $0. I think it's time that that aldermen learn how to write their own resolutions, write their own ordinance changes. They can certainly write a better ordinance change than the one we had regarding discussion that was clearly demonstrated as horrible. We're not getting our money's worth as part of it, but what's happening is allowing individual aldermen access to our city attorney unlimited is the reason we are way over budget. So I totally support removing unlimited access. We need better financial responsibility. I yield the floor.
Both? Do you have anything?
No, ma'am.
No?
Nothing to add.
McCallum?
No.
Jennings?
Nope.
You all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those against?
Nay. Nay.
It fell 3-2, the nays being Hoskins and Schnell. Moving on to 7.8, discussion text municipal leads to opinion on items that create conflicts of division.
TNL has refused to talk to our council members. They refused to talk to us because of the way that the information is being used. They have policies that state that they won't give any type of information that causes conflict or division on council. And when they realized that it was causing conflict and division, they cut it out. It has everything to do with their policies and nothing to do with anything other than that. They actually refused to give our city attorney a legal opinion this past week, but I just wanted to put that out there and let everybody know why TML has chosen not to do that.
I'm sorry, we're having a discussion about this?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to discuss it.
Go for it.
Mr. Stahl, could you please put the slide up of TML? If you want to know why TML won't talk to us, I'll show you. Next slide. This is from Ms. Sanford, Mayor Sanford, on January the 6th of 2017. She is writing to Scott Houston of TML. And she says, while she disagrees with his position, he's already given a position, she disagrees with it and says she's set back by the advice and information provided over and over to our city attorney and members of by a Bill England. The information he provides has caused nothing but division and conflict among council and within our city. As a result of his advice and time again, I believe council has acted illegally and in conflict with the state law. Next slide. Mr. Houston responds, Mayor, it has become clear that our services are no longer a benefit to you and your city. As such, we will no longer respond to inquiries from you or your city, council members, or staff. You should direct any further legal inquiries to your city attorney. We will continue to respond to inquiries from your city attorney if he wishes to communicate with us. So let's be clear on what this is about. This is about Mayor Sanford thinking that she knows more about the law than the attorneys at Texas Municipal League or our city attorney. There's the evidence. You guys can decide what you want to do with it, but since you wanted to discuss it, I think it should be out in the open if it wants.
Yeah, council has time and time and again gotten advice from TML, and then they have distorted it and brought it to council, and it was not technically the opinion of TML. I've talked to TML several times about this. They do have policies that they do not give any type of opinions that cause conflict or division on council. And when you go to TML and you're saying, can we give the mayor powers to the city administrator? Well, technically, we can't give the mayor's powers to the city administrator because he's not an elected official. He's a municipal officer. He has to be a municipal officer. But you guys take the information and kind of twist it around and throw it out there. And so they've decided, because of time and time again, council has contacted TML and has gotten information from them and then has used it to cause conflict. They don't want no part of it. They're not there to represent me. They're there to represent us as a whole. So when we go to them and we say, you know, we need an opinion on this or that, and it's something that's going to cause conflict, they're not going to give it to us anymore because they have a policy that states they're not going to do it. It's the same reason why they didn't give our city attorney an opinion last week.
I will simply note that Mr. Houston's response was to Mayor Sanford's.
Yeah, it was because I let them know you guys were violating their policies.
Was
yep.
Correct.
May I?
Sure.
After we were denied access, Mr. Houston actually took the phone call from me. I called, spoke to his assistant. He replied back. He called me. And the reason behind all of this, partially, is because their legal department was inundated by one member that's sitting up here. I will not name names. I'm not going to sit here and start a fight or an argument. But to criminalize actions, counsel and seeking legal opinions to be able to file charges against us, they were so inundated they couldn't take calls from other cities. That was from Mr. Easton, flat out. And he just felt that if we're going to have a discussion, we have to go to our attorney. So that's why we need access to our attorney. We can't talk to TML. I've contacted TML three times. That's it. And two times is when I first got elected to find out about procedures and a couple other things. That
because you always contact the attorney, you never really contacted him on the first
point of order. Point of order. So this is where we are, and this is it. And as far as the last time I had a procedural question, I went to Mr. Gregg and asked him to contact TML since we are not allowed. I said, this is going to be a conflict for you, but I would like to know what TML thinks about how the procedure was done. Because we have a conflict in our city code along with Robert's rules. So we have to make up our mind which way we're going to do it. TML came back and said that because it is dealing, the main motion and everything that was done was about attorney's bills, they would not give us an opinion. That is why
they said because of the turmoil in the city, they wouldn't give
us an opinion. That's not what they said.
It is.
So there we are.
That's the email, folks. That's all I can tell you.
So,
yeah, the email
is. We all know
the
email.
Yeah.
So, email.
All right. Anybody else? Okay, so we're going to move on to consideration action to approve resolution number 2017-252, moving to the first regular city council meeting of May 2017 from Monday, May 8th to Friday, May 12th. We have a motion.
I move to approve resolution 2017-252 to move the council meeting from Monday to Friday.
Do we have a second? I'll second. Do we have a discussion?
I think the main purpose of this, I'm not 100% certain having a meeting on May 12th is going to necessarily work, but we do have an election coming up that is, election day is May 6th. And the goal here is to actually get the new council, whoever it is, doesn't matter who gets voted, to be seated on May 12th. So they're actually, we do the canvassing of the votes May 12th, and we do the seating of the candidate of the newly elected officials on May 12th, and get that done as quickly as possible. So I guess my question for Mr. Saul, had those 43 votes been today, were any of them provisional votes?
Not that I'm aware of.
So we... personally, I don't know. Not where. Okay. And here's where the problem is. Someone has 6 days under provisional votes to turn in the required identification. And that makes that Friday the 6th day. We could potentially do the canvassing of votes Friday evening after business hours. And we could get council seated. And I don't see a point in a meeting on Monday, May 8th. Where the certain members of council may or may not be on council any longer. So any business done on May 8th is kind of pointless. And that's the reason I'm in favor of this. Thank you.
Bowles.
Alderman Bowles. Mr. Stahl, what's the procedure for, so we had 6 days, so then at least Friday, they still have that Saturday, correct?
That 6 days under the photo ID, there are other reasons for provisional voting. Friday the 12th is the last day for the voter registrar to make a determination on provisional ballots. We actually take those ballots down and we provide them to the county following the election. They keep those until Friday. It's always Friday. They never do it early. Mm-hmm. We get those back. Then they come back to the city. Then the early ballot board meets. And their date deadline to do that is Monday, the following Monday. And because we have to pick them up from the county, we usually don't even pick them up until Monday because we don't know what time of day they're going to finish those. And so we pick them up on Monday at early ballot board, then we look at those and add those to the total. We cannot canvass until that occurs. All of which is dependent on there being a provisional ballot cast, which could happen on any early voting day or on election day. If that were to happen, we would not likely be able to canvass on Friday. We would also then be back to a 72-hour notice before we could post a meeting to canvass. And we might not even be able to make the following Monday. We'll be looking at Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, depending on when the provisionals are dealt with on Monday.
Okay. Thank you.
Jim, historically, do we have provisional, like lots of provisional ballots historically?
It only takes one.
Yeah.
We've had one the last two elections.
We have.
So I would be pretty confident we're likely to see a provisional ballot.
Okay, thank you. McKenna?
Jennings?
No.
Now, it seems like if we're going to have a provisional ballot, I mean, we probably are, so moving it to the 12th, I mean, given what Mr. Saul said, almost makes it impossible.
Okay.
It would have been nice, because I would have liked to have seen everybody see it as soon as possible. I believe in that. So, unless there's objection, I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay. And then we'll just move on to 7.10, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2017-2016, amending general fund utility operating budget for fiscal year 2016-2017, reallocating budget expenditures to increase funds available for legal fees. Alderman Jennings?
I make motion to approve ordinance number 2017-263, which is an ordinance of the City of Shore Acres, Texas, adopting budget amendment 5 to the operating budget of the City of Shore Acres, Texas, for the fiscal year 2016-17, providing for the reallocation of budgeted expenditures to increase funding for legal fees, making various findings and provisions related to the subject, finding compliance with the open meetings law, and providing an effective date thereof.
Do you have a second?
I'll second.
Do you have a discussion?
If you look at your Exhibit A, you'll see that we're moving funds from six different accounts to account for about $12,800 in additional legal fees. There's been a lot of discussion, there's been some innuendo here tonight that it is because of council members that our legal fees are higher. Mr. Stahl, would you show the attorney expenditure slide, please? I just want to give some historical perspective on this so that we can understand that, what's happening here. And while he's getting that going, what I can tell you is that I asked Mr. Stahl to give me the every single check that we've paid for legal fees from, it turned out that our city billing system goes back to January of 2006. However, that was such a short period of time before new mirror was installed that I took it to June of 2006, and this goes all the way through March of this year. And so as you can see, June 1st, 2006 through March 1st, 2017. Next slide. All right, so total expenditures.
Now, point of order.
Out of 130.
I didn't get a copy of this. Is that not in our agenda packet?
I didn't either. That's why it's on the screen, so you can read. I'm assuming you can read. I know that Nancy can read. She just read a whole bunch.
Ordinarily, we have them in our packet. Adequately prepared.
Right, but this is a discussion. And you do have the ordinance in your packet.
No, but we don't have all this in our packet. We're not.
You do have the ordinance in your packet. So, what I can tell you is, I guess the mayor's going to have the screen turned off because you don't want to know. I thought you were about transparency. Go figure. From 2006 through 2017, that's 130 months, okay? 130 months. J.O. Washington, 48 months, $19,000, an average of $400 a month. Dolly Aarons, 36 months, $49,000, an average of $1,300 a month. Matt Weber, 12 months, $21,000, average $1,700 a month. Rick Moses, 24 months, $36,000, average of $1,500 a month. Kimberly Sanford,
or David Jennings,
10 months, $70,228 and 21 cents in 10 months, $7,000 a month. That's 36% of our expenditures over almost 12 years, folks. So, and if you think that these other mayors had easy councils to deal with, ask Connie, ask Neil, ask other people. Heck, ask the mayors, ask Dolly, ask J.O. J.O. was here during the storm, folks. So, don't believe what you hear. Believe what you just saw, shutting down
not wanting you to know the truth.
No, that's not what it is. It's that you didn't provide it to all of council. So why don't you stop with the false allegations and the innuendo?
While the mayor interrupts me yet again, believe what you're saying and think about that. I'll yield.
McCown?
I'm good.
Chill?
Good.
Bowles?
Good.
I just want to make one point. This is actually the first mayor that's ever had a council that has unlimited access to the city attorney. So that is a major, major reason why our attorney bills are so high. Never before has that been done. But clearly, that's what the issue is. And all he does is put $12,800 into this for legal fees. And I'm quite certain that the attorney has spent a bit more this month already, for which we have not received a bill. And we are $11,129.26 over, which basically leaves about $1,700. So we're probably going to have to do another budget amendment again next month, and probably do one every month until we stop this spending on the attorney. Until we no longer have unlimited access and we have accountability for council members. But we have no choice but to eventually, I guess, pay the attorney fees and make these changes. Thank you.
We're going to vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
Nay.
Okay, passes 3-2. Moving on, 7-11. Consideration approval of ordinance number 2017-264, many short city code to retain the online message board according to Texas Government Code Section 51006.
I move to approve ordinance 2017-264, amending the Shoreacre City Code to retain an online message board in accordance with Government Code
551.006. Okay.
Okay. Going back to the attorney fees again, slightly. Our attorney gave us an opinion about 551.006 as it pertains to Alderman Bowles posted on Nextdoor. And he stated that it was in compliance with the open meeting. It doesn't constitute a meeting or deliberation because Section 551.006 allows that to happen. Nextdoor is not 551.006. Let me explain to council what 551.006 is. It is actually part of the open government ethics title in our state code. And what it does is it allows the cities to create and establish their own bulletin board system with a few caveats. A, it has to be visible to the public. So let me compare it to Nextdoor. Nextdoor is not visible to the public. Somebody that lives in downtown Houston can't necessarily read Nextdoor. So it fails there, and it can fail on any one of them. It fails there. Only members of council and certain employees that have been allocated permission to post on the bulletin board system may actually post. Nextdoor has all the citizens. So the legal opinion that we've got here is very, very wrong, for one. I mean, that's just the furthest from the truth. And so what happened here is Alderman Bowles decided to use Nextdoor to post, which effectively blocked all of us from using it. I don't think that's what open government is about at all. And we were blocked because it would create an Open Meeting Act violation. So there's no way for us to respond. And quite frankly, I'm not even convinced that it wasn't a violation to post city business as Alderman on that board. Now, I understand that, you know, I think Alderman McCown said that, yeah, it was embarrassing. But, you know, open government can be embarrassing. But it doesn't mean we push it under the rug. We need to embrace open government, and it is about transparency. And I think using this Nextdoor example of where Nextdoor was probably improperly used, we need to follow the Open Meetings Act. Now, after I read this opinion from the attorney, I actually was so flustered that I had to go through the Open Meetings Act training again. So I now have a new certificate for the Open Meetings Act training from the Attorney General. At the end of that, and the lady that gave the presentation is the branch chief for opinions at the with the Attorney General. Her name is Jenny Holscher. And at the very end of it, she talked about 551.006 and how it's really a good thing and how it enables cities to have some protection from the Open Meetings Act where we can actually have discussion that doesn't need to be noticed. And when I mean the word noticed, that means our 72-hour notification. But she also talked about how we can get ourselves caught in an open meeting violation. And one of the things that the city attorney mentioned was that if three members of council are sitting down and two of them are discussing city business and the third doesn't participate, it's not. His quote-unquote opinion was that it is not a violation of the Open Meetings Act. I asked that specifically to the attorney generals because I called them as well. They have a number there you can call. There's plenty of great resources out there. And I didn't tell him it came from the attorney, our attorney, but he said that's a violation. So we need this bulletin board system so we can communicate more effectively. And I totally agree that sometimes it's embarrassing, but we get embarrassed here too. It happens. But that's what open government is about. It's about the good, the bad, the ugly, everything. Make it open. And so I would encourage council to reconsider this once again. Thank you.
We start with Jennings.
No, thank you.
McKell.
Even though the bulletin board has great potential, it doesn't with this particular city council. And I suggest that most likely after the election, bring it back. Let them deal with it. Because this board and city council cannot do it in a proper manner. I'm through.
So I sought legal opinion because what I put out was general. It was not specifically city business. Next door, you also did not have commentary because the way it was posted, there is no way that we could have commented to each other on it. There is no difference between going out and commenting on that or Facebook or anything like that. So that's why I sought legal opinion, because I wanted to protect the city and also make sure that we're following the rules. I also got an outside opinion on it as well from my attorney, personal attorney, and a parliamentarian. So that being said, we're kosher. Something else to bring up, since we're talking about PBS and social media. Facebook page. If you have three members, including the mayor, and I'm not throwing stones or anything here, you still have a potential for having Open Meetings Act.
I'm not for the quorum.
Said count as a quorum, nope.
I'm
so, point of order, let me finish. So you have the potential, because if she is still a voting member, if we do not have a quorum or if there is a tie, so that is still considered a walking quorum. And this is coming from the Attorney General. It's also coming from parliamentary procedure and parliamentarian. There is the potential there. So it's the same thing. We all have to be careful. I just assume not have the BBS. Let's just wait. Wait another year. I mean, we can't get along. It's just another way for somebody to throw stones, and we can argue socially. I think the meeting place right here is the place to do it. Let's do it out in public. Let's air our dirty laundry right here.
I guess that same question, if I may have the floor, about what a quorum means. And if the mayor counts as part of a quorum, then few meetings ago where the three of you did not show up, how come we had to adjourn? If she's part of a quorum and can vote, she would be part of a quorum. And the law clearly says quorum. It defines what quorum is. It's very much exact about that. The mayor is not part of the quorum, period. And so even if there's a potential of it being part of a, you know, being able to vote, that doesn't make it part of a quorum. A quorum is the number of aldermen that are present it in one location. If it's the mayor and two other aldermen, that's not a quorum and does not constitute a quorum, ever. That's why we can't have meetings. We can only have a meeting with a quorum present. As far as you also contacted it, well, I'm not going to go into that, but I just wanted to clarify that point. And as far as Facebook goes, actually, Jenny Holscher addressed Facebook. The difference between Nextdoor and Facebook is that Facebook, you can set private settings so that people can't see what you're writing. So if I have a Facebook page and I post stuff about, put stuff about city business on there, I can block people from seeing that, that I don't want to see, such as that would create a quorum. On the other hand, Nextdoor has no such capability. As a matter of fact, when you posted what you posted, I got an email sent to me. And I believe Alderwoman Schnell did too. And that's you sending two of us an email. That's a quorum. And you, in effect, doing that. Now, I did ask the attorney that I spoke with from the Attorney General's office, and he said, well, they haven't really decided about that yet, but my advice is err on the side of caution. And he says that because it's a criminal offense. It's not some civil offense with some minor civil remedy. It's actually a criminal offense. And their recommendation is to err on the side of caution and not do those types of things. That came straight from the attorney that I spoke with at the Attorney General's office. And if you go through the Open Meetings Act training again, that number will be provided to you right at the very end. I recommend you call them. I recommend you use a lot of the resources that are out there. And the Open Meetings Handbook is one of those that they have. Thank you.
I have a question. So you posted on Nextdoor in your official capacity or in your personal capacity?
Doesn't matter.
It does matter.
No, it doesn't.
Because you said that you posted
it was general.
In your,
I posted,
why is the city paying for it?
I did not post. I posted to make sure that we were not violating the law.
You posted
either way.
To make sure we weren't violating.
Posted a general statement about our city.
Yeah,
and I got an appointment point of order.
No, I actually have the floor.
No, actually, I said point of order.
No, I have the floor, and the point of order is work right here.
I call the question.
What is point of order? What is point of order?
He's just saying point of order. Okay.
You're asking me questions and not allowing me to speak, so.
Well, no, I was asking you a question.
Can we vote?
No, I wanted to find out if you posted it in your official capacity or as an individual.
What's the difference in that and posting on Gidry News or posting on a blog or posting on Facebook?
Because the city didn't pay an attorney for that for you. If you're posting
I asked him a question, I question him.
If you ask me a question, I have the floor, I'm answering. Okay? If you're posting on Nextdoor in your individual capacity, then it's not the city's responsibility to pay your attorney fees. If you're posting in your official capacity, then everyone on council receives
it. Are you lecturing
me?
Are you lecturing me? Are you lecturing
me? No,
I'm
not.
Okay.
I'm telling you, you need to read Robert's Rules. You've already stated that you haven't.
I have read Robert's Rules, just like you have it, because you don't refer to us as a...
And of the open meeting, I mean, have you taken open meetings yet?
You know the answer to that because you checked my file.
Well, then you should probably take it again.
Wow.
Okay. So, we're going to vote. Consideration and approval of ordinance number 2017-264. Motion was brought by Hoffman, seconded by Bollarder. Schnell. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
And it fails in court. 7.2, consideration and approval of resolution number 2017-253, terminating the agreement for services of Christopher A. Gregg of Gregg & Gregg PC and city attorney and terminating the legal services agreement with the law firm of Gregg & Gregg PC Hoskins.
I move to approve resolution 2017-253, terminating the agreement of services with Christopher A. Gregg of Gregg & Gregg PC and city attorney and terminating the legal services agreement with the law firm of Gregg & Gregg PC.
Do
you
have a second?
A second.
Okay, I'm going to keep this short and simple. We need a city attorney that can count to six, not one that can only count to three. And that's what's clearly been going on. He may be a really great real estate attorney, but I have to question some of his legal opinions, which in this case seems to be an oxymoron. But he also continues to change his opinion. And, you know, wearing your finger and holding it up in the air to form a legal opinion based on which way the wind blows is kind of how I feel he's doing. And furthermore, he has not represented all of counsel. And I go through the bills. He says he's sending stuff to the client. I don't see a copy of it. We need to stop our attorney spending. And this is one way to do it. Just cut off the attorney. And we'll figure something out with new counsel. Thank you.
Jennings?
I don't even know where to start with this stuff, guys. Apparently, as I said earlier, the biggest problem we have here is that Mr. Hoskins and Mayor Sanford think they are legal experts. Apparently. You've heard time and again tonight that Mr. Hoskins and Mayor Sanford has said the attorney's just wrong. He's just wrong. I mean, Mr. Hoskins, I have to question his illegal. I didn't write everything down he just said. But Mr. Stahl, would you please display the slides from Stryker Attorney Fees 2017?
Is this a packet? If it's not a packet, you're not displaying a slide.
Oh, you mean, okay.
You provided all counsel.
Yeah. Mr. and Ms. Transparency down there, I'll help you.
I'm all for transparency.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
You don't have to show it. I'll read it for you. I'll read it for you. Kimberly Sanford, Friday, March 24th, 17 p.m. to Chris Gregg. Mr. Gregg, your response is a joke. That's the way she treats our city attorney. Ron Austin, on March 28th, Mr. Gregg, let me make sure I understand your legal opinion. Furthermore, your legal opinion, I really wish you would represent all of counsel with more appropriate legal advice. Ron Hoskins again on March 28th. Mr. Gregg, let me make sure I'm 100% clear about your opinion. That is not how I read TOMA. Chris Gregg received his bachelor's degree from Hampton City College in Virginia. Very exclusive college, by the way. In 1993, he had a BA in major history, and he graduated cum laude. In 1996, he graduated from the South Texas College of Law, again cum laude. Didn't quite make summa cum laude, but cum laude. He's been practicing municipal law since 1997, 20 years. Now, I have to tell you, folks, common sense tells me that if I'm seeking an opinion on something, I'm going to weigh somebody that's been doing it, has the educational degree, and knows what he's talking about, versus somebody that says, I read the book last night, I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night, whatever it is, I'm just telling you, that's what I'm going to believe. So all this is trying to stir up people, trying to get them riled up, and you know, folks, it happens every election season, we get it. You know what? This is wrong. Chris Gregg has done, he's not my attorney. I don't even know what that means, he's my attorney. I've talked to the man probably twice. It's just, at some point, we got to get a grip. And stuff like this on the agenda, in the grip. So I'll be voting against this. I'll be voting to retain a experienced lawyer versus, let's wing it and we'll figure it out. Thank you.
McCown?
I think it's pretty well been covered.
No. I know that Alderman Jennings had problems with some of Mr. Gray's opinions in the past, especially when it related to setting a tax rate a couple of years ago, so much to the fact that Mr. Jennings got him walked out of a meeting and announced it in third person. David Jennings is leaving the meeting. Because he didn't feel it was a legally called meeting. And that was going on the advice of Christopher Gray.
Point of order?
What?
That is a false statement.
Correct me there.
Completely false.
What meeting did you get to walk out of then?
I walked out of a meeting that Mr. Gregg was not at. I walked out of a legally called meeting. I never called it an illegally called meeting. I walked out of a meeting because the tax rate that was published was not what we voted on. And I specifically said, I am leaving the building.
Yeah, and
you're right.
It's not legal.
Mr. Gregg was not here. Mr. Gregg did not weigh in on that. Mr. Gregg had nothing to do with that.
He wrote the notice, and you argued about the notice.
Yeah, the
legitimacy.
You are completely wrong. You need to go back and read the record.
Okay,
at the following meeting, I asked him a different question, and I relied upon his advice, and his advice to counsel was that counsel was wrong. And it had nothing to do with what the reason that I walked out. Go back and read the record.
I will. Then I stand corrected. But I was wrong.
No, because originally the attorney gave the opinion that it was good, and then he turned around and reneged.
That is completely false.
That is not
for
false.
The record. That is
on
completely
the audience.
False.
Bull, you're dead.
I'm done.
Let's go home. I need to adjourn.
Okay.
No motions, brother.
Are we going to vote on this? There was a valid motion.
There
was no withdrawal.
He withdrew his motion.
He did not.
No, he did not.
He said, come on.
He said.
Okay, I'll withdraw my motion.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's going to fail anyway.
Okay.
Any objection to adjourn?
8:31.